Chapter 23. A quote from Major Afendra's Guide to the Rider's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. The most worrisome sight for any instructor is most definitely when powers backfire. We lost 9 cadets my first year to signets that could not be controlled from their first manifestation. Pity. I don't even know what I was thinking, I say to Rhiannon as I sit cross-legged on her bed, watching her pack her satchel with books for the afternoon. The relic on my back burns today, as if it needs to remind me that I can channel now, and I can roll my shoulders to try and relieve the sensation, but it's impossible. My clock has started. I can't believe you managed to wait this long to tell me. She lifts the canvas strap over her head and turns, leaning back against her desk. And that's not judgment. Far from it. I'm all for you exploring whatever it is you want to explore. I've been with Liam from the second I walked out the door this morning, and last night I was a little too discombobulated to put it into words. The knot between my shoulders has me rolling my neck, looking for some relief. With flight lessons and Imogen using weight training to strengthen the muscles around my joints in hopes they won't subluxate as often, which is a hit or miss right now, I'm a mass of aches and tightness. Between Taryn finally channeling and then everything else, it was just a night. Good point. A grin shapes her mouth and her brown eyes sparkle. Was it good? Tell me it was good. That man looks like he knows exactly what he's doing. It was just a kiss. Heat sings in my cheeks at the blatant lie. But yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. My brow furrows, my imagination running through the 1,000 different consequences of what I did last night, just like it has been all morning. Second thoughts? She tilts her head, studying me. You look like maybe there are third thoughts, even. No, I shake my head. Well, maybe, but only if it makes stuff between us weird. Right, because you're stuck with him for the rest of your careers. Lives, too. Have you guys talked about what happens after he graduates? Her eyebrows rise. Oh, I bet you get the choice of duty stations. Wing leaders always get to pick. He'll get to pick, I grumble, toying with an errant string on my satchel. I will have to follow. Taryn and Sigail haven't been separated for years. Her last rider died almost 50 years ago, and as far as I know, she flew wherever and whenever she wanted to be near Taryn before Naolin, his last rider, died in Tirindor. It's a 2-day flight to that part of our border, depending on where he's stationed. So what are we going to do next year and the year after? Her lips purse. Not sure. Fier said we won't be able to be apart more than a couple of days, so does that mean one of you has to always follow the other? No clue. I think that's why most mated pairs bond within the same year, so they don't have these issues. How am I supposed to remain competitive next year if I'm constantly flying off to the front line with Taryn? How is Zayden supposed to be effective if he has to fly back here all the time? My face scrunches. He's the most powerful rider of our generation. He's going to be needed on the front, not here. For now, Rhiannon stares at me with intention, lifting her brows. He's the most powerful rider in our generation, for now. What? 3 knocks have both of us looking toward her door. Re? Liam asks, panic evident in his voice. Is Sorengale in there with you? Because... Rhiannon opens the door, and Liam stumbles inside, catching his balance before his gaze sweeps the room, finding mine. There you are! I went to the bathroom and you disappeared! No one's trying to assassinate her in my room, Mari. Rhiannon rolls her eyes. You don't have to be with her every second of every fucking day. Now give us 5 minutes, and then we'll start walking to class. She pushes at his chest and he retreats, his mouth opening and shutting like he's trying to think of an argument, but can't as she forces him out the door and shuts it in his face. He's I sigh. Dedicated. That's one word for it, she mutters. You'd think that guy owes Ryerson his life or something, the way he sticks to you like glue. He's pretty much told me that he does, but I keep that confidence to myself. Between Zayden's meetings, stopping time, and Indarna's age, I'm starting to keep too many secrets. Oh, her eyes light up and she sits on the edge of the bed next to me. Something happened with me last night, too. Yeah? I pivot to face her. Do go on. All right. She takes a deep breath. I've only done it 3 times, twice last night and once this morning, so be patient for a second. Of course, I nod. Watch the book on my desk. Got it. My gaze locks on the history textbook on the left-hand side of the desk. A minute passes, but I don't look away. Then, the thing vanishes. What the hell, Ree? I fly to my feet and whip my head toward her. What just... My mouth drops. She's holding the book, looking up at me with a wide grin. Is that the same book? I lean in just to see. Yep, it's the same. I guess I can summon. Her grin grows even wider. Holy shit! I grasp her shoulders in excitement. That's amazing! That's incredible! I don't even have words for what that is! Moving objects and locking doors are the small magics. The baseline of wielding that comes from our constant connection to our dragons through our relics once they begin channeling. But making something disappear and bringing it to you? I haven't read about a signet power like that in a century. It's a hell of a signet. Right? She clutches the book to her chest. I can only do it from a few feet away, and I couldn't go through walls or anything. Yet, I correct her, joy bubbling through me. You can't go through walls yet, Ree. That's the kind of rare signet that's going to make your entire career. I hope so. She stands, putting the book back on her desk. I just have to develop it. You will. I say it with the same assurance I feel. The three of us walk toward the academic wing minutes later, joined by Sawyer and Riddick as they come out of Commons, fresh from the library.
I finished this for you, Liam says, handing me a figurine as we climb the wide spiral staircase to the 3rd floor.
It's Taren. He's even mastered his snarl. This is incredible. Thank you.
Thanks, Liam gives me a grin, flashing his dimple. I wanted to carve Andarna first, but I'm not around her as much, you know?
She's pretty private. We break off from the crowd, headed to the 4th floor, and I stash the dragon in my bag, then reach out and give him a hug. Really, I love it. Thank you.
The hallway is crowded but clears as we walk farther down, nearing Professor Carr's room. You're welcome. He turns to Rhiannon. I'm starting Fierge next.
Rhiannon jokes with Liam that she hopes he captures her full badassery, but I lose the rest of the conversation as I glance toward the floor-to-ceiling window before the entrance to the battle brief tower, and my breath catches. Zayden is standing with the other wing leaders, locked in what looks to be a tense discussion, his arms folded across his chest.
It took the Commandant all of 5 minutes to appoint Lamani Zohar as wing leader for 3rd Wing after Amber was executed. But since she was already executive officer, it made the most sense.
I'll never get over how quickly people move on around here, how callously death is swept under a rug and trampled on minutes later.
God, Zayden looks good today. His brow slightly furrowed as he listens intently to something Lamani says, then nods.
Hard to believe I had that mouth on mine last night, those arms wrapped around me. Forget second thoughts, I just want more. As if he feels me staring, Zayden lifts his head, his gaze colliding with mine across the space with the same effect as a touch. My pulse skitters and my lips part.
We're going to be late, Ree reminds me, glancing back over her shoulder.
Zayden looks behind me, and his mouth tenses.
Vi, can we talk? Dane asks, a little out of breath, like he's run to catch up to me.
Now? I rip my gaze from Zayden's and turn to face the person I thought was my best friend. Dane grimaces, rubbing a hand behind his neck and nods.
I tried to catch you after formation, but you disappeared pretty quickly. And after what happened last night, I figure now is better than later.
It might be convenient for you to want to talk after weeks of ignoring me, but I have class right now. I grip the strap of my satchel.
We have a couple of minutes.
The plea in his eyes is so heavy that I feel the weight of it on my chest.
Please.
I glance at Rhiannon, who is glaring at Dane with her true feelings for once, instead of the deference owed him as our squad leader.
I'll be right in.
She glances at me and then nods, heading into Carr's room with the rest of our squad. I follow Dane out of the doorway to a place along the wall where we won't obstruct traffic.
You let Tarn share your memory with everyone instead of just showing me yourself.
He blurts, his hands falling to his sides.
I'm sorry? What the hell is he talking about?
When all the shit went down with Amber, I asked you to show me what happened and you refused. He shifts his weight, just one of his nervous tells, and the motion strips away some of my anger.
When push comes to shove, he's my oldest friend, even if he's being an ass.
I didn't believe you, and that part is on me. He raises his hand over his heart. I should have believed you, but I couldn't reconcile the woman I knew with what you were saying, and you didn't come find me after the attack either.
Hurt laces his tone. I had to hear about it in formation, Vi. Regardless of the fight we had on the flight field, you're still you to me, and my best friend had been viciously attacked, nearly killed, and you didn't say a single word about it.
You didn't ask, I say softly. You reached for my head, like you were entitled to my memory after blatantly telling me you didn't believe me. And you demanded I show you. It's everything I can do to keep my voice even.
Two lines appear between his eyebrows.
I didn't ask.
You didn't ask, I shake my head. And after being told countless times that I'm not tough enough for this place, not strong enough, well, what happened on the flight field was a long time coming between you and me. The worst part is that I knew you wouldn't believe me. It's why I almost didn't tell Zayden who it was, because I was sure he wouldn't believe me either.
But he did. Dane's voice drops and his jaw ticks. And he was the one who killed them in your bedroom.
Because Tarn told Sigale. I fold my arms across my chest. Not because he was already there or anything. And I know you hate him.
You have every right to hate him too, he reminds me, reaching for me before thinking better of it and drawing his hand back.
I know that, I counter. His father put an arrow in Brennan's chest, according to battlefield reports. I live with that knowledge every day. But don't you think he sees me and remembers that my mother put his father to death? It's, the right words are hard to find. It's complicated between us.
Images of last night flood my mind, from Zayden's first smile to the last brush of his lips, and I shove them away.
Dane flinches.
You trust him more than you trust me.
It's not an accusation, but it stings all the same. That's not it. My stomach twists.
Wait. Is it true?
I have to trust him, Dane. Not with everything, of course.
Shit, I'm tying myself into knots here.
Neither of us can do anything about Sigale and Tarn being mated. And trust me, neither of us likes the situation. But we have to figure out a way through it. We don't have a choice.
Dane mutters a curse, but he doesn't disagree.
I know you just want to keep me safe, Dane, I whisper. But keeping me safe is keeping me from growing, too.
He blinks at me, and something shifts between us. Like maybe, just maybe, he's finally ready to hear me.
When you told me that this place strips everything away from you to reveal what's underneath, I was afraid. What if underneath the brittle bones and frail ligaments, there was just more weakness? Only this time, I wouldn't be able to blame my body.
You've never been weak to me, Vi.
Dane starts, but I shake my head. Don't you get it? I interrupt. It doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what I think. And you were right. But the Rider's Quadrant stripped away the fear and even the anger about being thrown into this quadrant, and it revealed who I really am. At my core, Dane, I'm a rider. Tairn knew it, and Darna knew it. It's why they chose me. And until you can stop looking for ways to keep me in a glass cage, we aren't going to get past this, no matter how many years of friendship we have between us.
He glances over my shoulder.
And what? Ryerson gets a free pass for his control issues? Because last time I checked, Liam was moved into our squad specifically to shadow you.
It's an excellent point.
Liam is around because even the strongest rider can't watch their back from more than 30 unbonded cadets gunning for them. And if I die, Zayden dies. What's your excuse?
Dane tenses like a statue, only the muscle in his jaw ticking before he eventually leans forward and whispers.
Look, you don't know everything there is to know about Zayden, Vi. I have a higher security clearance due to my signet, and you need to be careful. Zayden has secrets, reasons to never forgive your mother, and I don't want him to use you to get his revenge.
My hackles rise. There's a sliver of truth in what he's saying, but I don't have time to focus on the confusion that is Zayden right now. One screwed up relationship at a time.
I narrow my gaze as Dane shuffles his feet again, a kernel of a suspicion growing in my chest.
Wait, did you keep begging me to leave Besgaeth because you didn't think I could survive here? Or because you were trying to get me away from Zayden?
I shake my head before he can answer. You know what? It's irrelevant. And I mean it. You only want to keep me safe. I appreciate that. But it stops now, Dane. Zayden is tied to me because of Sigale. Nothing more. I do not need protection. And if I do, I've got two badass dragons who have my back. Can you respect that?
He reaches up to cup my cheek, and I hold his gaze, determined for him to understand he either starts valuing my choices, or we are never going to fix our friendship.
All right, Vi. His eyes crinkle at the sides as his mouth turns up into a half smile. How can I argue with someone who has two badass dragons?
A weight shifts in my chest, and suddenly I can breathe again. I toss him a cheeky grin.
Exactly.
I'm sorry for not asking for the memory. He drops his hand to my shoulder. You'd better get to class.
And then he squeezes my shoulder gently before walking away. I let out a shaky breath and turn back to the door for Carr's class. The hallway is empty. I head into Carr's room, a massively long chamber with padded walls and no windows. The entire length is lit by chandeliers of mage lights bright enough to emulate daylight over 36 students from third and fourth wing, who are seated in rows on the floor, evenly spaced to give one another the most room. Rhiannon and Liam meet me at the door, and Professor Carr raises his bushy white eyebrows at me when we approach where he's positioned at the front of the room, dominating the space by doing nothing more than standing there. The man isn't just imposing. He's intimidating as fuck.
I swallow, remembering how he snapped Jeremiah's neck.
Finally ready to join us, Cadet Soren Gale.
There's no kindness in his eyes, merely shrewd, clinical observation.
Yes, sir, I nod.
He studies me like I'm a bug pinned to the wall in the biology room.
Signet power?
Not yet, I shake my head, keeping the whole time-stopping thing to myself like Zayden suggested.
You trust him more than you trust me.
In this regard, Dane is right. and guilt drops my stomach.
I see. He clucks his tongue, glancing over at me. You know your siblings were both gifted by extraordinary signet powers. Mira's ability to manifest a ward around her and her squad has been an absolute asset to her wing. And she's been highly decorated for her valor behind enemy lines.
Yes, Mira is an inspiration. I force a smile, more than aware of my sister's prowess on the battlefield.
And Brennan, he looks away. Menders are so very rare, and to lose one so young was tragic.
I think losing Brennan is the tragedy. I heft my satchel up higher on my shoulder. But the loss of his signet was a definite blow to the wings.
Hmm.
He blinks twice and turns his chilling gaze back on me.
Well, it seems the Sorengale line is blessed, even in a rider as, well, delicate as you are. With Tern having chosen you, we'll expect nothing but an earth-shattering signet from you. Take a seat. You can at least start with the lesser magics through your relic.
He waves me off.
No pressure, I mutter as we walk to obviously empty places in the line with the rest of our squad.
Don't stress, Rhiannon says as we take our seats on the padded floor. That's what I was trying to remind you of earlier. You are Tern's rider. What do you mean? I set my satchel down next to me. You're all worried about the integrity of the wing because Ryerson might have to visit to keep his dragon happy, but Violet, he's not the most powerful rider of our generation. You are. She holds my gaze just long enough to let me know she means it. My heart lurches into my throat.
Now, let's begin, Carr calls out.
December turns to January. Ground, shield, imagine closing your door, build your wall, sense who and what has access around you. Trace the bond to your dragon. Dragons, in my case. Build a second entrance, a window, into the archive of my power for Andarna's golden energy. Block those bonds as far as you can. Visualize. Imagine a knot of power, not too intricate. No one's ready for that yet. In front of you. Then, untangle it. Unlock the door. Visualize. Keep one foot firmly grounded at all times. You're useless unless you're connected to your power. And you're dangerous if you can't contain it. There is only the in-between that makes you a great rider. Envision your power like a hand, gripping that pencil and bringing it toward you. Pick it up? No, not like that. Try again. No, again. Visualize. I study for tests. I prep for flights. I lift weights with Imogen. I wonder how long Zayden is going to make me put in hours on the mat with Rhiannon. I win my first challenge, earning a dagger from a girl in second wing. But the most exhausting assignment is spending endless hours in the archive of my mind, learning which door is Tern's and which belongs to Andarna, then working diligently to separate the two. It turns out that while my power might flow from my dragons, the ability to control it comes from my own exertion. And there are nights I fall into bed, plunging into sleep before I even remove my boots. By the end of the second week in January, I'm not only pissed that Zayden hasn't bothered to talk to me about that kiss, but exhausted. And that's without a signet power manifesting, draining my energy to control it. Riddick can wield ice, which might be a more common signet, but it's impressive to see. Sawyer's metallurgy powers grow every day. Liam can see a single tree miles away. I guess I can stop time, but I'm not willing to drain Andarna just for the sake of trying again. Not when it took her more than a week of straight sleeping to recover. Without a signet, all I can wield are the lesser magics. I finally use an ink pen, lock a door, and open it. I'm a party trick. By the third week in January, I earn yet another dagger in a challenge against a guy in third wing. My second without weakening my opponent with poisons. It leaves me with a sore wrist, but my joints are intact. And in the fourth week, during the coldest weather I've ever experienced at Bezgayeth, I sneak out in the middle of the night to see the challenge board. Jack has finally been given the chance to end me on the mat tomorrow. He's going to kill me. That's all I can think as I dress for the morning, sheathing all of my daggers in the most advantageous places.
He's going to try.
Terna's up early. Any advice? I know Liam is waiting for us to make the library run before breakfast.
Don't let him.
I scoff. He makes it sound so damn simple. We're already on our way back from the library when I finally work up the nerve to talk to Liam about it. If I tell you something, will you report it to Zayden? His head whips in my direction as he pushes the cart over the bridge between the quadrants. Why would you think, oh, come on, I roll my eyes. We both know you report just about everything I do. I'm not ignorant. Snow pelts the windows, making a dull chiming sound.
He worries.
I alleviate worries. He glances at me again before looking forward. I know it's not fair. I know it's a breach of your privacy. But it's nothing compared to what I owe him. Yeah, I got that part. I hurry ahead and open the thick, heavy door into the citadel so he can pass through. Maybe I should rephrase my question. If I were to tell you something and ask you specifically to keep this one thing between the two of us, would you agree? Are we friends, or am I just your assignment? He pauses while I shut the door, and I can tell he's thinking by the way he drums his fingers on the handle of the cart. Would me keeping it to myself alter your safety in any way? No. I catch up to him, and we start along the incline that will eventually split into two tunnels. One, toward the dormitory, and the other toward commons. There's nothing you can do, and that's the point.
We're friends. Tell me.
He grimaces.
I'll keep it to myself.
Jack Barlow is going to be allowed to challenge me today. He stops walking. So I do, too.
How do you know that?
And that is why I'm asking you to keep it to yourself, I cringe. Just try to trust that I know.
The instructors can't let that happen.
He shakes his head, panic creeping into his eyes. They're going to, I shrug, forcing a tight smile. He's been asking since the first day, so it's not like we didn't see this coming. Point is, Jack is going to challenge me today, and when he does, you can't step in, no matter what.
His blue eyes widen. Vi, if we tell Ryerson, he can put a stop to it.
No! I reach for his hand and lay mine on top of it. He can't. My stomach twists, but at least I'm not puking like I did when I found out. There's only so much Zayden can do to protect me both here and once we're on the front lines. You and I both know that if he stops this, there will be an uproar in the quadrant after what happened to Amber.
And you expect me to stand there and watch whatever happens happen?
He asks, incredulous. Just like you have the last two challenges. I force another smile. Don't worry, I'm going to use everything I have to my advantage. And everything I have is currently in a vial tucked into the tiny pocket at my waist.
I don't like this.
He shakes his head. Yeah, well, that makes two of us. There's no flight field today. The dragons have deemed it too cold to fly over the last week, which means we're all headed to the sparring gym after formation. I don't bother with breakfast, but I pay close attention to every single thing on Jack's tray as I walk by, noting what's there and what isn't. My heart pounds a chaotic, nauseating rhythm by the time all 81 of the surviving first years gather in the gym. Professor Amaterio calls out the challenges one by one, assigning them to a mat. At least we'll all fight at once, which means not every rider will be watching. At least Zayden isn't here, which means Liam kept his word.
Mat 17, Jack Barlow from First Wing versus...
His eyebrows rise and he takes a deep breath.
Violet Sorengale.
Thank gods Rhiannon's already across the floor, ready to challenge a woman from Third Wing, so she doesn't have to see how the blood drains from Liam's face. She shouldn't have to see any of this. Sawyer's gone too, over at Mat 9.
No fucking way, Riddick mutters, shaking his head. Finally! Jack throws his hands in the air like he's already won. Let's do this!
I roll my shoulders and head for the mat. Neither Liam nor Riddick is called to the mat today, so they walk at my sides.
Tell me I can break the promise,
Liam begs, and the pleading look in his eyes tells me exactly what a shitty position I've put him in. The third years are off doing third year things, I tell him as my toes touch the mat. You can't get him here in time. But I know what it means to you to keep your word, especially with him. Go ahead. He looks from me to Riddick.
Guard her like you're me.
You mean like I'm 6 inches taller and built like a bull? Riddick gives him a thumbs up. Sure, I'll do my best. In the meantime, you'd better run.
Liam's gaze finds mine.
Stay alive.
Working on it, and not just for my sake. I give him a smile. Thanks for being a great shadow. His eyes widen a split second before he sprints out of the gym.
Barlow and Sorengale, Amaterio calls from the opposite side of the mat. Weapons?
Jack bounces like a kid who's just been given a gift.
Anything she can hold in those puny hands of hers.
The look in his eyes sends a shiver of apprehension down my spine. I step onto the mat, and Jack does the same, walking forward until we're at the center, facing each other.
No wielding, Amaterio reminds us. Tap out or knockout earns you a victory.
Pretty sure everyone gathered around this mat knows that Jack isn't going for either of those options. If he gets his hands around my neck, I'm dead. That whole I die, Zayden dies thing is really just a hypothesis, right? I ask, unsheathing the daggers that are hardest to reach during a fight, the ones in my boots.
One I'd rather not put to the test,
Taren growls. I stand gripping the handles of my daggers as Jack faces me with a single knife.
You're kidding, right? Only one? I only need one.
He grins with sickening excitement.
Go for the gullet, Taren suggests.
I don't have the energy to block you out right now, so I'm going to need you to be quiet for a few minutes here. An answering growl is the only response I get.
Keep it clean, Amaterio warns. Go!
My heart drums so loudly I can hear it in my ears as we begin to circle each other.
Offense, now, strike first,
Taren snaps.
Not helping.
Jack lunges, striking out with his knife, and I slice my dagger across the back of his hand, drawing first blood.
Shit,
he jumps back, his cheeks blotching. That's what I want, what I need to win this match, for him to get so angry that he acts without thinking and makes a mistake. He dances forward and then kicks out, aiming for my midsection, and I stumble back, narrowly avoiding the blow.
Bet you wish you could throw that blade, don't you?
He taunts, knowing I won't break a rule when it can hurt someone in the matches going on around us.
Bet you wish you didn't know what it feels like to dig out one of my knives, don't you?
I retort. His lips press into a thin line before he comes at me in a series of punches and swipes with his dagger. I can't deflect. He's too strong for me, as evidenced by the dagger he easily kicks out of my hand. So I use my speed, ducking and diving while getting in another cut, this one along his forearm.
Damn it!
He rages, twisting to follow as I come around his back. He catches me off guard, locking onto my arm and flipping me over his back to the mat. I take the blow on my shoulder and wince, but there's no sound of tearing or snapping. Thanking Imogen will be my first order of business if I make it out of this. Keeping my arm locked, Jack thrusts his knife straight at my chest, but is deflected by my vest, skimming along my ribs to lodge in the mat.
He's using death blows, Riddick shouts. That's not allowed!
Pull it back, Barlow, Amaterio bellows.
What do you think, Soren Gale? Jack whispers in my ear, holding me immobile with my arm behind my back. Admit it, you and I both knew it would be like this between us. Quick, embarrassingly easy. Fatal. Your precious wing leader isn't here to save you.
No, but Satan will suffer, if not worse, if Jack achieves his goal. The thought spurs me into action. Ignoring the pain, I throw my weight into a roll, subluxating my shoulder but freeing myself from his grip when he gets tangled in my legs. Then I kick him straight in the balls.
He hits his knees as I gain my feet, clutching himself as his mouth opens in a silent scream.
Tap out, I order, picking up the dagger I dropped. I can cut you open at any second. Both you and I know if this were real life, you'd be done.
If this were real life, I would have killed you the second you stepped onto the mat, he seethes through gritted teeth.
Tap out!
Fuck off!
He throws his dagger. I throw up my hands to block, but it lodges in my left fucking forearm. Blood streams and pain sears the nerves along my arm, erupting with alarming poignancy. But I know better than to remove it. Right now, it's holding that wound as shut as it can.
No throwing! Emeterio shouts from the sidelines, but Jack is already moving, barreling toward me with a series of kicks and punches that I'm not ready for.
His fist slams into my cheek and I feel the skin split. His knee forces the air from my body when he rams it into my stomach, but I stay on my feet until his hands clasp my face. Agony fills every cell in my body as violent, vibrating energy rips through me with an intensity that makes it feel like he's cleaving ligament from bone, muscle from tendon. I scream as I'm shaken by an internal force I don't understand, as though he's forcing his own power into my body, shocking me with a thousand stings of vibrating energy. Now, if I don't do it now, he'll kill me. My vision is already darkening at the edges. I reach a trembling hand into my pocket of my leathers and thumb open the stopper on the vial. His sadistic grin and a red rim around his eyes are all I can see as he forces more and more power into my body. But his hands are occupied and he's too obsessed with his victory to hear that I've stopped screaming, to see that I'm moving.
He's using his powers! Riddick roars from the corner of my decreasing vision.
I see movement on both sides. I shove the vial against Jack's smile so hard, I feel one of his teeth break. Hands reach for us both, and I hear Riddick and Emeterio cry out, jerking their hands away after contact. Whatever Jack is doing is transferring from me to them by touch. My teeth rattle as the pain consumes me, my body fighting to pass out, to escape the unbearable torture, but I refuse to succumb to the darkness until Jack wheezes. His eyes fly impossibly wide, and he drops his hands clutching his own neck as his airway closes. My knees give way, my body still shuddering as I hit the mat, but so does Jack, heaving and clawing at his neck as his face turns purple. Riddick's face is in mine within seconds. Breathe, Soren Gale, just breathe.
What the hell is wrong with him?
Someone asks as Jack writhes.
Oranges, I whisper to Riddick as my body finally gives out. He's allergic to oranges.
I fall into nothingness. When I wake, I'm not on the mat, and I can tell by the windows of the Healer Quadrant infirmary that night has fallen. I've been out for hours. And that's not Riddick lounged in the chair next to my bed, glaring at me like he'd like to kill me himself. It's Zayden. His hair is tousled, like he's been tugging at it, and he's flipping a dagger end over end, catching it by the tip without so much as looking at it before sheathing it at his side.
Oranges.
Chapter 24. A quote from page 70, The Book of Brennan.
I know you don't want to hear this, but sometimes you have to know when to take the death blow, Mira. It's why you have to be sure that Violet enters the Scribe Quadrant. She'll never be able to take a life. I move to scoot up the bed so I can sit, but the pain in my arm reminds me that there was a dagger in it a couple of hours ago. Now it's bandaged.
How many stitches?
11 on one side and 19 on the other. He arches a dark brow and leans forward, bracing his elbows on his knees.
You turned oranges into a weapon, Violence?
I wiggle to a sitting position and shrug.
I worked with what I had. Seeing as it kept you alive, kept us alive, I can't really argue. And I'm not going to ask how it is you always know who you'll end up challenging.
There's definite anger in that gaze, but a touch of relief, too.
Telling Riddick allowed Emeterio to get him here in time. Unfortunately, he's 5 beds down from you, and he'll live. Unlike the second year a row over. You could have killed him and saved us all a lot of drama.
I didn't want to kill him. I roll my shoulder, testing it. Sore, but not dislocated. My face is tender, too. I just want him to stop killing me.
You should have told me.
The accusation rips from his lips in a snarl.
And you could have done nothing about it besides make me look weak.
I narrow my eyes at him.
And you haven't exactly been around to talk about anything in weeks. If I didn't know better, I'd think that kiss scared you.
Shit. I didn't mean to say that. That's not up for discussion.
Something flashes in his eyes and is quickly replaced by a cool mask of indifference.
Seriously?
I should know better considering he's avoided it this long.
It was a mistake. You and I are going to be stationed together for the rest of our lives, never able to escape the other. Getting involved, even on a physical level, is a colossal blunder. No point talking about it.
I barely keep from clutching at my chest to see if all my organs are where they're supposed to be, since it feels like he just eviscerated me with 4 sentences. But he had been just as into it as I was. I was there, and there was no mistaking that kind of enthusiasm. But maybe it was the churum.
What if I want to talk about it?
Then feel free, but it doesn't mean I have to be a part of the conversation. We're both allowed our boundaries, and this is one of mine.
The finality in his tone makes my stomach curdle.
I'll agree that keeping my distance didn't work out so well. And if today's little stunt was about getting my attention, then congratulations, it's yours.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I swing my feet to the side of the bed. I need my boots and to get the hell out of here before I make an even bigger fool of myself.
Apparently, I can't trust Liam to report deadly situations, or Rhiannon to train you on the mat, seeing how easily Barlow had you pinned. So as of this moment, I'm taking over.
Taking over what?
My eyes narrow.
Everything when it comes to you.
The next day, during what should be our flight hours if not for the howling sub-zero winds outside, Zayden has me on the mat. Fortunately, he has his shirt on, so I'm not distracted by what I know is under it. No, he's not only wearing fighting leathers and boots, he's strapped to the nines with what looks to be 12 different daggers and 12 different sheaths. Is it absolutely toxic that I'm attracted to this look on him? Probably. But one look and my temperature rises.
Leave your blades off the mat, he instructs, and nearly 12 riders glance our way from other mats.
At least Liam has been given the time to go train himself a couple of mats over against Dane. A first. Most of the squads are in here, making use of the unexpected free time, so thankfully everyone is busy training instead of watching us.
But you're armed, I glance pointedly to his sheaths.
You either trust me or you don't.
He tilts his head to the side slightly, exposing more of the rebellion relic curving up around his neck. The same relic I caressed with my hand while he had me against the foundation wall more than a month ago.
Nope, not thinking about that.
But my body has no problem remembering. I blow out my breath in a long sigh and step to the edge of the mat, unsheathing every dagger I own and the ones I've won, then laying them on the floor.
I'm unarmed. Happy now?
I turn to face him, putting my arms out. My long sleeve covers the bandage on my arm, but the throb is insistent. Though we probably could have waited a couple of days for my arm to heal up before doing this. The stitches pull, but I've had worse.
No,
He shakes his head, unsheathing one of his daggers and walking forward. The enemy doesn't give a shit if you're wounded. They'll use it to their advantage. If you don't know how to fight in pain, then you'll get us both killed.
Fine, I shift my body weight in annoyance. Little does he know, I'm almost always in pain. It's pretty much my comfort zone.
That's actually a good point, so I'll let you have it.
Thank you for being so gracious, he smirks, and I ignore the immediate surge of warmth low in my belly.
He flips his palm upward, showing me the dagger with an oddly short blade.
The problem isn't necessarily your fighting style. You're fast, and you've become pretty damned formidable since August. The problem is you're using daggers that are too easy to pluck out of your hands. You need weaponry designed for your body type.
At least he didn't say weaknesses. I study the blade in his hand. It's beautiful, with a solid black hilt engraved with Tirish knots, old mythical runes of intricate swirls and ties. The blade itself is clearly honed to lethal perfection.
It's spectacular. It's yours.
My head snaps up, but there's no lie in his onyx eyes.
I had it made for you.
His lips curve slightly.
What?
My mouth opens and my chest tightens. He took the time to have it made?
Shit. That gives me feelings I really don't want to have. Soft, confusing feelings.
You heard me take it.
Swallowing the illogical lump in my throat, I take the blade from him. It feels solid in my palm, but is infinitely lighter than my other daggers. There's no strain on my wrist, and my fingers comfortably wrap around the hilt, making it much more secure than the knives I've left on the floor.
Who made it?
I know someone.
In the quadrant?
My eyebrows shoot up.
You'd be surprised how resourceful you get after 3 years here.
A smirk tugs at the corner of his mouth, and I openly stare before remembering where we are.
It's incredible.
I shake my head and hand it back to him.
But you know I can't take it. The only weapons we're allowed to have are the ones we earn.
Only challenges or weapons qualifications are acceptable. There's a crossbow I have my eye on that I'm not quite expert at yet.
Exactly. He smiles for a flash of a second before moving with a speed I've never dreamed possible.
He's even faster than Imogen as he sweeps my feet from under me with one strike, taking me to the mat in a single move. The ease with which he has me on my back is simultaneously appalling and ridiculously hot, especially with the weight of his hips settled between my thighs. It takes all my willpower not to reach up and brush the stray lock of hair from his forehead.
It was a mistake.
Well, if that memory doesn't cool me right off.
And what point are you making with this little move?
I ask, well aware that he's done it all without knocking the wind out of me.
There are a dozen of these daggers strapped to my body, so start disarming me.
He lifts a sardonic brow.
Unless you don't know how to handle an opponent on top of you, and if so, that's a whole other issue.
I know how to handle you on top of me, I challenge quietly.
He lowers his mouth to my ear.
You won't like what happens if you push me.
Or maybe I will.
I turn just enough that my lips brush the shell of his ear. He jerks up, and the heat in his gaze makes me all too aware of everywhere our bodies connect.
Disarm me before I test that theory in front of everyone in this gym.
Interesting. I didn't take you for an exhibitionist.
Keep pushing, and I guess you'll find out.
His gaze drops to my mouth. I thought you said kissing me was a mistake. I don't care if the entire quadrant is watching, if that means he'll kiss me again.
It was, he smirks. I'm just teaching you that blades aren't the only way to disarm an opponent.
Tell me, violence. Are you disarmed?
Arrogant ass.
I scoff and start plucking knives from their sheaths, flinging them across the mat while he watches with impatient amusement.
Then, I lock my legs around his hips and force a roll to the left, putting Zayden on his back. Willingly, of course. There's no way I'm kneeling on top of him if he doesn't want it that way. But I throw a forearm against his collarbone with the pretense of pinning him anyway, and proceed to steal the other daggers he has sheathed along his side. And lastly, I say with a smile leaning forward, our heated bodies nearly flush as I snatch the dagger right out of his hand.
Thank you.
The final blade secured, Zayden throws his palms to the mat and shoves with unnatural strength, arching us straight back until my spine kisses the mat again.
That's, I suck in a breath, the move shocking me to my toes and lodging him firmly between my thighs.
It takes everything I have not to arch up against him and see if he really thinks that kiss was a mistake.
Not fair to use your powers on the mat.
Magical, sexual, whatever. It's all unfair.
That's the other thing.
He jumps to his feet and offers his hand. I take it, my head rushing as I stand.
Not now. Do not get dizzy now.
Emeterio doesn't allow powers in order to level the playing field when it comes to challenges. But out here, the field is anything but level, and you need to learn to use whatever you've got.
I can't do much beside ground, shield, and move a piece of parchment.
I sheathe the new dagger, then collect the others and do the same. They really are lovely, all marked with different runes. It's a shame there are so many parts of Tirish culture that were lost centuries ago during the unification, including most runes. I don't even know what they all mean.
Well, looks like we're going to have to work on that, too.
He sighs and takes up a fighting stance.
Now, earn your nickname and try your best to kill me.
February flies by in a blur of exhaustion. Zayden takes every unscheduled moment of my day, and Dane's gritted his teeth more than once when the wing leader has pulled me out of squad training because he has something infinitely more important for me to do, which usually ends with me getting my ass handed to me repeatedly on the mat. But I have to say, he doesn't baby me like Dane, and he doesn't take it easy on me like Rhiannon does. He pushes me to my physical limit every session, but never further, usually leaving me in a boneless, sweaty heap on the sparring gym floor, gasping for breath. That's usually when Imogen reminds me that I'm needed in the weight room.
I hate them both.
Kind of. It's hard to argue with the results when I'm learning to take down the strongest fighter in the quadrant. I have yet to beat him, but I'm all right with that. It means he doesn't let me win. He also doesn't kiss me again, even when I push. March arrives with uncountable feet of snow that have to be shoveled before morning formation every day. And the moments the relic burns in my back and I feel like I might crawl out of my own skin if the power building within me doesn't release, reminds me that I still don't have a signet. It's already almost been 3 months. Every morning I wake up wondering if today is the day I'll spontaneously combust.
Sharla Gunter,
Captain Fitzgibbons reads from the death roll, his gloved hands slipping on the frozen parchment. It's warmer this week, but not by much.
And Mushin Vedi. We commend their souls to Malik.
Vedi? I ask Rhiannon, my eyebrows shooting up as formation ends. I didn't know him well since he was in second wing, but the name is still a shock, considering he was rumored to be one of the best among us. You didn't hear? She pulls her fur-lined cloak closer around her neck. His signet manifested in the middle of Carr's class yesterday, and he burst into flames.
He burned himself to death?
She nods. Tara said Carr thinks he was supposed to be able to wield fire, but it just overwhelmed him in that first rush and...
He went up like a torch, Riddick adds.
Kind of makes you glad your signet's still hiding, huh?
Hiding is one way to put it.
Other than the ability I'm not supposed to even whisper about, I'm proving to be the one thing my mother hates. Average. And it's not as though I can go to Tairn or Andarna for help.
The signet is all about me, and I'm apparently not delivering, as the stinging relic on my back constantly reminds me. There's a tiny secret part of me that hopes my signet hasn't manifested yet, because it's different than the others. Not only useful, but meaningful, like Brennan's was.
Definitely makes me want to skip class today, Rhiannon mutters, blowing on her hands to keep them warm.
No skipping class, Dane admonishes, pinning us with a stare. We're weeks away from the squad battle, and we need every single one of you at your best to win.
Imogen snorts. Come on, Atos. I think we all know Second Wing has that squad in tail section that's going to smoke the rest of us. Have you ever seen them sprint up the gauntlet? Pretty sure they've been out there even though it's still covered in ice.
We're going to win, Sienna, our executive officer, proclaims with a decisive nod.
Sorengale here might slow us down on the gauntlet, she wrinkles her hawkish nose, and probably in the wielding department, too. At the rate she's advancing.
Gee, thanks, I fold my arms across my chest. Bet I can shield better than all of them combined.
But Rhiannon's skills more than make up for that, Sienna continues. And we all know Liam and Heaton are both going to decimate on the mat for the challenge competition. That only leads flight maneuvers and whatever task the wing leaders come up with to judge this year.
Ho, oh, is that all? Man, I thought it was going to be hard.
The sarcasm rolling off Riddick is thick enough to earn him a glare from Dane.
We're down to 10 of you, Dane says, glancing over our group. 12 of us in total, which puts us at a slight disadvantage against a couple other squads. But I think we'll manage.
We lost 2 of the new additions last week when the smaller one's signet manifested in battle brief, and they both froze to death in seconds, nearly taking out Riddick with the exposure too. He was treated for frostbite but didn't have any permanent damage. Now Nadine and Liam are the only ones left from the batch we acquired after threshing.
But in order to manage, I need you guys to get to class.
He lifts his brows at me.
Especially you. A signet would be great, you know. If you can maybe make that happen.
It's as if he can't decide how to treat me lately. As the first year who's struggling but still here, or the girl he grew up with. I hate how unsettled everything feels between us, all wrongly sticky, like putting on clothes before you can dry after a bath. But it's still Dane. At least he's finally being supportive.
She's going to miss Carr's class today, Zayden interrupts, appearing behind Sawyer, who hurries to clear a path.
No, I'm not, I shake my head and ignore the quick jump of my pulse at the sight of him.
She needs to go, Dane argues, then grits his teeth. I mean, unless the wing has more pressing matters for Cadet Sorengale. Her time is best spent developing her wielding skills.
I think we both know she's not going to manifest a signet in that room. She would have already if that was the key.
I wouldn't wish the look Zayden levels Dane with on my worst enemy. It's not anger or even indignation. No, he looks annoyed, as if Dane's complaints are entirely beneath him, which, according to our chain of command, they are.
And yes, the wing has more pressing matters for her.
Sir, I'm just not comfortable with her going a day without at least practicing her wielding. And as her squad leader,
he doesn't know that Zayden's been giving me extra wielding sessions while we spar.
For Dune's sake, Zayden sighs, invoking the goddess of war.
He reaches into the pocket of his cloak and takes out a pocket watch, holding it in his outstretched palm.
Pick it up, Sorengale.
I glance at the two men and wish they'd just sort their shit out between themselves, but there's about a 0% chance of that happening. For the sake of expediency, I throw my mental feet into the floor of the archives. White-hot power flows around me, raising goosebumps on my arms and lifting the hair at the back of my neck. Raising my right hand, I envision that power twining between my fingers,
and little shocks blossom along my skin as I give form to the energy, making it a hand of its own, as I ask it to stretch the few feet that separate me from Zayden. There's an abrupt halt, as though my tendrils of raw magic hit a wall, but then it gives, and I push forward, keeping tight control of the blazing hand. There's a crackle in my head, like the dying embers of a fire, as my power brushes Zayden's hand, but I close my mental fist around the pocket watch and then pull. It's fucking heavy. You got this, Rhiannon urges. Let her concentrate, Sawyer chides. The watch plummets for the ground, but I snap my hand back, yanking on my power as though it's a rope, and the watch flies toward me. I catch it with my left hand before it can smack me in the face. Rhiannon and Riddick clap. Zayden walks forward and plucks the watch from my fingers, dropping it into his cloak. See? She's practiced. Now we have things to do. He puts his hand on the small of my back and leads me out of the crowd. Where are we going? I loathe the way my body demands I lean back into his touch, but I miss it the second it's gone. I'm assuming you're not wearing flight leathers under that cloak. He opens the door to the dormitory for me and I walk inside. The motion is so easy that I know it's not only practiced, but second nature, which is at complete odds with, well, everything I've come to know about him. I pause, looking at him like we're meeting for the first time. What? He asks, closing the door behind us and shutting out the blustering cold. You opened the door for me. Old habits die hard, he shrugs. My father taught me that. His voice dies abruptly, and his gaze falls away, every muscle in his body locking as though he's preparing for an attack. My heart aches at the look that crosses his face, recognizing it well. Grief. Don't you think it's a little cold for flying? I ask, changing the subject in an attempt to help. The pain in his eyes is the kind that never dies, the kind that rises like an unpredictable tide and floods the shoreline without mercy. He blinks, and it's gone. I'll wait here. I nod and hurry to change into the fur-lined leathers we're issued for winter flight. He has that unreadable mask on when I return, and I know there won't be any more doors held on my account today. We walk out across the emptying courtyard as cadets scurry off to classes. You didn't answer me. About what? He keeps his eyes on the gate to the flight field path, and I have to damn near scurry to keep up with his strides. About it being cold for flight. Third years have flight field this afternoon. Kaori and the other professors are just taking it easy on you guys since the squad battle is coming up, and they know you need the practice in wielding. He pushes open the gate, and I hurry after him. But I don't need the practice? My voice echoes in the tunnel. Winning the squad battle is nothing in the scheme of keeping you alive. You'll be on the front lines before the rest of them come next year. The mage lights play off the harsh angles of his face, casting sinister shadows as we pass each one. Is that what's going to happen next year? I ask as we come out the other side, the snow whiting out my vision momentarily. It's piled high on each side of the path, the result of this heavy winter. I'm going to the front lines? Inevitably. There's no telling how long Sigale and Taryn will tolerate being separated. My best guess is that we'll both have to sacrifice to keep them happy. He's clearly not so happy about it himself, but I can't blame him. After 3 years in the Quadrant, I'd want to get the hell out too. My stomach sinks as I realize I'll be in his shoes when I graduate as well, with no real control on how our dragon's bond dictates my future posts. I nod, not knowing what else to say, and we walk to the gauntlet in companionable silence. Second wing, I note, watching the squad from tail section slip and slide their way across the gauntlet. You sure you don't want your own squads out here practicing? A corner of his mouth lifts, and that inhuman facade of his cracks. When I was a first year, I thought winning was the pinnacle too.
But once you're in your third year, and you see the things that we do, his jaw flexes. Let's just say that the games are a lot more lethal. We head toward the staircase that leads to the flight field, but there's already a group coming down, so I move back to let them descend first. My heart launches into my throat as they come closer, and I snap my frame to an attention stance, my spine stiffening. It's Commandant Pancheck and Colonel Atos. Reaching the ground first, Dane's dad offers me a smile.
At ease. You're looking well, Violet. Nice flight lines, he says, gesturing to the ones on his own cheekbones that come from flight goggles. You must be getting a lot of airtime.
Thank you, sir. I am. I relax my posture and can't help but return the favor, but my lips are tight. Dane is doing well, too. He's my squad leader this year.
He's told me.
He grins, his brown eyes just as warm as Dane's.
Mira asked about you while we were touring the Southern Wing last month. Don't worry, you'll get your letter privileges in second year, and then you can keep in touch more often. I'm sure you miss her.
Every day, I nod, pushing past the swell of emotion the admission brings. It's so much easier to pretend there's nothing outside the walls than to wallow in how much I miss my sister. Zayden stiffens at my side as Mom steps out of the stairwell. Oh, shit. Mom, I blurt, and her head turns, her eyes meeting mine. It's been more than 5 months since I've seen her, and even though I want to be as composed as she is, as compartmentalized, I just can't. I'm not built like she is, like Mira is. I'm my father's daughter. Her assessing gaze sweeps over me with all the familiarity of a commanding general and a Basgaiath cadet, and there's no warmth in her expression as she finishes her perusal. I hear you're having trouble wielding. I blink and step backward, as though physical distance is going to shelter me from the icy rebuke. I have the best shields in my year. For the first time, I'm actually glad I haven't manifested a signet, haven't given her something to brag about.
With a dragon like Tern, I would certainly hope so. She cocks an eyebrow. If not, all of that incredible, enviable power will have been.
Her sigh is a puff of steam in the air.
Squandered.
I try my best to swallow the growing knot in my throat. Yes, General.
You have been the topic of some conversation, though.
Her gaze skims the top of my head, and I know she's looking at the silver-tipped braid she thinks marks me as cursed, the hair she told me I was better off cutting.
Oh? She actually talks about me?
We're all wondering what powers, if any, you're wielding from the Golden Dragon. Her lips form a smile I'm sure she thinks is soft, but I know her too well to fall for it.
No.
The single word from Tern rumbles through my entire body.
Do not speak of it.
Nothing yet. I drag my tongue over my chapped lower lip. Winter is hell on the skin during flight. And Darna told me that feathertails are known for being unable to channel power to their rider. Only their direct gifts, but I'm not about to say that. It's why they don't bond often.
Or ever. Dane's dad chimes in. We were actually hoping that you might ask your dragon to allow us to study her, for purely academic purposes, of course.
My stomach sours. The group of them would poke and prod Aunt Darna for God's knows how long to appease their academic curiosity, and they might stumble onto the untapped power of young dragons.
No thank you.
Unfortunately, I don't see her being comfortable with that. She's pretty private, even with me.
Pity, Colonel Atos says.
We've had the scribes on it since threshing, and the only reference they can find in the archives about the power of feathertails is hundreds of years old, which is funny because I remember your father doing a bit of research about the second Crovelin uprising, and he mentioned something about feathertails, but we can't seem to find that tome. He scratches his forehead. Mom looks at me with expectation, as though to ask me without actually asking.
I don't believe he finished his research on that particular historical event before he died, Colonel Atos. I couldn't even tell you where his notes are. The words are as true as I can make them. I know exactly where his notes are, in the one location he spent the majority of his after-hours time. But there's something about Taren's warning that makes me simply unable to tell them. Too bad. Mom forces another smile. Glad to see you're alive, Cadet Sorengale. Her gaze flashes sideways and instantly hardens to steel. Even if the company you're forced to keep is more than questionable. Shit, shit, shit. I can't step in front of Zayden and make him look weak. I can't even glance his way without telling my mother where my allegiance lies, without telling myself. I always felt that we resolved any of those questions years ago, Zayden says, his voice low, but he's gone taut as a bowstring next to me. Mom turns toward the Citadel in clear dismissal. Do see if you can master some kind of signet, Cadet Sorengale. You have a legacy to live up to. Yes, General. The informal words cost more than I'm prepared to admit, ripping into the confidence it's taken me nearly 8 months to build with talon-sharp precision. Good to see you, Violet. Dane's dad offers me a sympathetic smile, and Pancheck outright ignores us, running to catch up with Mom. I don't say a word to Zayden before I climb the stairs, each step making me only angrier until I'm a ball of rage by the time I reach the top of the cliffside. You didn't tell her about how you got out of the attack in your bedroom, he says. It's a statement, not a question. And I'm not talking about me showing up. I know exactly what he's talking about. I don't ever see her. And you told me not to tell anyone. Didn't realize it was quite like that between you, Zayden says, his tone surprisingly soft as we start down the box canyon toward the flight field. Oh, that's nothing, I toss out, intentionally making my tone as flippant as possible. She spent almost an entire year ignoring me when Dad died. A self-deprecating laugh slips past my lips, which was almost as wholesome as the years she spent barely tolerating my existence because I wasn't perfect like Brennan or a warrior like Mira. I shouldn't be saying these things. These are the thoughts families keep behind their doors so they can wear their polished, perfect reputations like armor when in public. She doesn't know you very well then, Zayden remarks, keeping pace with my furious strides. I scoff. Or she sees right through me. Problem is, I'm never quite sure which it is. I'm too busy trying to live up to whatever impossible standard she sets to ask myself if they're even standards I give a shit about. My narrowed gaze swings to him. And what was that about, anyway? Saying that you resolved questions years ago? Just reminding her that I paid the price for my loyalty. His brow furrows, but he stares ahead of us. Paid what price? The question slips out before I can stop my foolish tongue. I can't help but remember what Dane said. That Zayden has reasons to never forgive my mother. Boundaries, Violence. His head lowers for the span of a heartbeat. And when it rises, he's wearing that polished, give-no-fucks mask he's so good at donning. Lucky for us, the strain of the moment is broken as Taren and Sigale land across the field ahead, accompanied by a shiny, smaller dragon who makes me instantly smile. We're all flying today? I ask, following as he walks toward the trio. We're all learning today. You need to learn how to stay on, and I need to learn why the hell it's so hard for you, he answers. And Darna needs to learn how to keep up. Taren needs to learn how to share his space in a tighter flight formation. And every other dragon but Sigale is too scared to fly closer. Taren chuffs in agreement as we approach. And what is Sigale learning? I ask, eyeing the giant blue dragon. Zayden grins. She's been leading for almost 3 years now.
She's going to have to learn how to follow. Or at least, practice.
Tern's chuff sounds suspiciously like a laugh, and she snaps at him, baring her teeth and coming within inches of his neck.
Dragon relationships are absolutely incomprehensible, I murmur.
Yeah? You should try a human one sometime.
Just as vicious,
but less fire. He mounts with an ease I envy. Now let's go.